Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello everyone, and welcome back to what is quickly becoming my favourite part of every week, where we take a look at a dark realm. What is a dark realm, you may well ask? Well, it's a place which is renowned for being allegedly haunted, cursed, etc. And we try to take a 15 to 20 minute look at these places around the world, hopefully bringing you places that you've never heard of before or you only know a bit about. And we have had suggestions flying in, and I want to keep them coming, so please do. Email us at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And hopefully we will get round to each and everyone's suggestion at some point or another. But today, I want to give a huge thank you to our listener Martin, who very recently suggested today's location. And I decided to go with the location Martin suggested, as it's also the hometown of my great-grandmother. And according to my recollection of my Nan, when she discussed these things, a large section of my family lineage is based here. She would recall going back here with her mother, playing with their cousins, the O'Neills, and as Irish grandmothers often exist in a state of permanent contradiction, sorry, Nan, she would wave off talk of the paranormal with one hand and then tell us the tale of her Aunt Bridget, who lived in this town, who farmers would visit to get a weather report for the next month. This is the same Aunt Bridget that once bent down into the pram of my Nan's younger brother, Dennis, and then looked my great-grandmother in the eye and said, "He has the devil in him." And until she died, she would never be in the same room as poor great-uncle Dennis. But before we reveal today's location, if you haven't guessed already, we're going to the Emerald Isle. A quick shout out to our Patreons who will have received this on Friday of last week. When you join our Patreon, you receive everything on the main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else. And you can also gain access to the back catalogue of our weekly Patreon episode, Dark Bites. So head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But now, let's take a look at today's dark realm. Yes, we are in Ireland. Yes, we are in the home of my ancestors. And we are in County Wexford, on the southeastern coast of Ireland. Because it's here that today's dark realm, lauded Ireland's most haunted house, stands. The Evergrande Loftus Hall. Perched on the windswept Hook Peninsula in County Wexford, Loftus Hall exudes an air of eerie mystery that belies its centuries of history. Its story begins long ago, well before the hall itself was built, on the site that once occupied Houseland Castle, a strategic fortification built in the 12th century to guard against coastal invasions and to secure routes into the region. This stronghold gave way to the construction of Redman's Hall in 1350, constructed at the height of the Black Death. The plague swept mercilessly across Europe and claimed the lives of an estimated 30 to 50% of Ireland's population, forming a grim backdrop to the hall's early years, its thick stone walls witnessing the despair of a darkening world. For the next 300 years, with exception to a few sporadic ones, Redmond Hall was the safehold of the Redmond family. By 1640, Redmond's Hall was in the possession of Alexander Redmond, who defended it valiantly during one of Ireland's bloodiest eras, the 11 Years' War. The conflict, part of the wider War of the Three Kingdoms, brought Oliver Cromwell's new model army to the gates of Wexford. Redmond and a small band of defenders famously held their ground against the advancing forces, though the town of Wexford fell to massacre and ruin. Alexander's courage is said to have earned Cromwell's respect. The tale claims he was allowed to remain in the hall until his death, a rare mercy in those brutal times. After his passing, however, the Redmond family were unceremoniously evicted, and the property was gifted to the English Loftus family, marking a new chapter in the hall's turbulent history. The Loftus family undertook significant renovations between 1872 and 1884, with John Loftus spearheading the project in the hopes of hosting Queen Victoria herself. Elaborate additions including a grand staircase, richly adorned rooms, all made to impress the hopefully arriving monarch, became nothing but a financial burden as she never graced the hall with her presence. The financial burden of those extensive renovations weighed heavily on the family. The failure to attract royal recognition only compounded their difficulties. Over time, maintaining that sprawling estate became untenable, leading to its eventual sale as a necessary measure to prevent financial ruin. And in 1917, the hall's ownership shifted dramatically when it was sold to the Sisters of Providence and transformed into a convent. The nuns repurposed the grand estate into a place of religious retreat and education, utilizing its many rooms for prayer, teaching, and accommodation. The hall's imposing structure and serene location lent itself to spiritual reflection, though the whispers of its haunted past were not entirely silenced. The convent itself operated for several decades, providing solace and guidance to those seeking refuge, before financial pressures of maintaining that aging building forced the Sisters of Providence to relinquish ownership. Decades later, in 1983, it was purchased once more by the Devereux Hotel firm and converted into a hotel. The vision was ambitious, transforming a shabby former ghost of a beautiful residence into a five-star hotel, aiming to blend modern comforts with storied pasts. However, the challenges of maintaining such a vast and aging structure became very apparent. Numbers of guests dwindled, and the hotel struggled to turn a profit amidst rising operational costs. Ultimately, the burden of keeping the hall viable proved far too great, leading to its closure in the late 90s. The walls of Loftus Hall were left to echo with the silence once more, a reflection of the financial and logistical difficulties that had plagued its owners for centuries. But we need to turn the clock back to find out why this is such a dark realm.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Amongst the infamous tales of Loftus Hall is that of Charles Tottenham and his stepdaughter Anne Loftus. Charles became Lord of the Manor by marrying into the bloodline, securing the title through his union with Anne Loftus, daughter of the first Viscount Loftus. Following Anne's untimely death, Charles remarried his cousin, Jane, which was not unusual for the time, but further complicated the family dynamic, It was, however, Charles' daughter, also named Anne, who would forever intertwine her fate with the Hall's darker legends. A sensitive and imaginative young woman, Anne's life took a sinister turn with the arrival of a mysterious guest in 1775, an event that would immortalize her name in folklore and tragedy. You see, in 1775, a ship is said to have wrecked during a fierce storm near the peninsula. Among the survivors was a mysterious stranger who sought refuge at Loftus Hall. Charles' daughter, Anne, quickly became enamored with this enigmatic guest. The man integrated easily into the household, charming the family with his enigmatic demeanor and courteous manners. His presence brought an unusual energy into the hall, and evenings were often spent in the glow of candlelight, laughter and games filling the grand parlor. But on one fateful night, during a spirited card game, the atmosphere turned sinister. Anne, seated close to the stranger, accidentally dropped a card beneath the heavy oak table. As she bent down to retrieve the card, the flickering candlelight revealed a horrifying sight. Because the guest's foot was not human, but a cloven hoof. A wave of terror seized her, and she screamed in horror, pointing to expose the truth. The stranger, his facade now shattered, stood abruptly, his eyes blazing with an unearthly fire, and in a deafening roar, he shot through the ceiling in a ball of flame, leaving a gaping, blackened hole that, according to legend, can still be seen today. Anne's mental state deteriorated rapidly after the encounter. Her once vibrant personality gave way to a haunting silence. The family, mortified by the scandal and the superstitious feel amongst the local community, made a very harsh decision to confine Anne to the tapestry-lined solitude of a second-story room. Here, she was left to grapple with her unraveling sanity, her days marked by quiet sobbing, her nights by fevered whispers. Anne became a shadow of her former self, endlessly staring out of the narrow, mullioned window. It's said she clung to the hope that this mysterious stranger, who had so captivated and betrayed her, would return and explain his dark nature. Her isolation only deepened her despair. Family members avoided the room, afraid of what they may find, or what might be watching them from the shadows within. Anne's end was as tragic as her final days, leaving a legacy of sorrow that would intertwine with the haunted lore of Loftus Hall. Her death, later that year, brought no solace. Her corpse found twisted and rigid. It could not be straightened to fit in a coffin, and therefore, her final resting place was instead to be buried seated, as if still searching through that window. Loftus Hall has solidified its reputation as one of the most haunted locations in Ireland, drawing the attention of both amateur ghost hunters and seasoned paranormal investigators. Its chilling history and reported hauntings have been explored by prominent figures in the field. Paranormal media star Zach Bagans of Ghost Adventures filmed an episode that supposedly caught unexplained phenomena within its walls. More interestingly, in 2014, a visitor to the hall took a photograph revealing a translucent figure of a woman in period dress stood in a doorway. Paranormal investigators frequently document occurrences that defy explanation. Disembodied voices, shadowy apparitions, sudden drops in temperature. And through its labyrinthine corridors, one investigator recalled hearing a faint, sorrowful whisper, "He will return." Echoing Anne's obsessive wait for the enigmatic stranger. Like many of the dark realms we encounter, this beautiful hall is a paranormal hotspot and has become a magnet for thrill seekers, skeptics, and architect lovers alike, each hoping to capture a glimpse of whatever they arrived for. For some, it's the sheer beauty, the enigmatic feel of the place. But for most, it's the hall's dark, lingering secrets. Another eerie incident involved a group touring the hall at night. As they ascended the grand staircase, the oppressive silence was broken by the sudden thunderous slam of a door at the top of the stairs. There was no apparent cause, because they were the only ones in the building. The group froze, their breaths visible in the inexplicable cold that enveloped the place. Only moments later, a guttural, menacing growl emanated from the shadows. Its source unseen, but its presence undeniable. The terrified group fled, convinced they'd encountered something beyond the natural world. In another chilling account, a medium visiting the hall claimed to have encountered the tormented spirit of Anne. During a séance in one of the dimly lit rooms, the medium reported that Anne's spirit repeatedly whispered the heart-wrenching question, "Why did he leave me?" over and over. Her voice filled with sorrow and longing. Witnesses to the session described an oppressive feeling in the air, as though the walls themselves carried the weight of Anne's anguish. In 2020, Loftus Hall was sold once more and renamed Ladyville Hall. The ambitious new owners envisioned a luxury hotel to be opened by 2024, complete with all the modern amenities that would revive the hall's grandeur while embracing its rich history. However, their plans were plagued by a series of inexplicable misfortunes. Contractors reported equipment failures, unplanned accidents on site. This all led to whispers of a curse tied to the renaming of the hall. Local lore suggests that the hall's original name was integral to appeasing the restless spirits within, and that changing the name may have invoked their wrath. The mounting setbacks, including funding complications and repeated delays, ultimately forced the owners to abandon the project. The property was eventually sold to a London-based group, but its future remains shrouded in uncertainty. Today, Loftus Hall's windows remain boarded up, guarded by security. Rumours persist that the curse continues to cast its shadow, thwarting any attempts to restore or repurpose the building. Some locals even claim to hear noises from the empty hall at night, as if the spirits themselves are protesting against any transformation. Whether the hall's challenges stem from financial realities or supernatural forces, one thing does remain clear. Loftus Hall refuses to be tamed. Whispers of the Hall's dark past and the mysterious forces at play linger, casting a shadow over its uncertain future. Whether by human hand or supernatural design, Loftus Hall continues to defy restoration, standing as a monument to the centuries of tragedy, resilience, and the unrelenting grip of this dark realm. And so we bring our look at the dark realm which is Loftus Hall to a close. And don't forget, if you have a suggestion for a dark realm, simply drop us an email at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And maybe your suggestion will be our very next dark realm. But until next time, stay safe and take care.